All right, turn to somebody next to you and say, you are a difference maker. Now turn to somebody on your other side and say, you are a difference maker. But also, let me say this. If you desire to be a difference maker, if you desire to make a difference in our time, in our culture, in our nation, in your neighborhood, in your home, if you want to be a difference maker, here's one thing you need to really consider, and it's this. Then you need to be different. You need to be different. But let me also preface, let me also say this. But you need to be different in the right way. If you're going to make a true difference, can you say amen? Amen. And that does not mean, as a Christian, to be weird. Okay, you can really be different if you want to be weird and act weird. But I want to tell you this right now. Jesus did not act weird. But Jesus, how many of you know Jesus not only made a difference while he was on the earth for the 3.5 years that he had ministry. Think about this, 3.5 years he made ministry. But at the same time, he's still making a difference today. He's still making a difference in every single person that will receive him into their heart. And I'm not speaking of religion. Religion is dead. Religion is empty. Religion is mean. Religion is angry. I'm talking about relationship. If I have a relationship with Jesus, if I have a true living relationship with him, then I am going to be different. You know, it's amazing when I got born again, and everybody in my hometown knew that I was a sinner. They knew that, okay? Not one person, not even the preacher, not even where I went to church, they knew that. That's the reason I was the subject and focus of a lot of prayer, and thank God for that. Thank God for that. But at the same time, when I got born again, my friends, when they would come up to me and look at me, they would say, there's something different about you. And then they would ask me, what is different about you? Not only was I different, was I different in my behavior, my conduct, my actions had completely and totally changed. Not that I was perfect in any way, shape, or form. In my spirit man, I was, because Jesus had completed what he needed to complete. You know, he didn't wait and say the job will be finished. You know, it's my responsibility to renew my mind, but he had completed and filled me with his fullness right in here in my spirit man, which began to immediately manifest outwardly. There was the first time Tava came to our house one time, and she walked into our house. When you walk in through the back door, because family and friends always come into the back door. Can you say amen about that? If you came in the front door, you didn't know us. Anybody knocked on the front door, we knew that they were selling something or whatever it was, because everybody we knew always came to the back door, you know. And so when you walk in the back door, there was a picture of our family, individual family. I had three brothers and a sister. And of course, I was better looking than all of them. But anyway, so when you came in, and I was mom's favorite, so my picture was first. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All the firstborn say amen right now. So I was like the favorite when he walked in. But I remember, I'll never forget this. I remember walking in one time, and I just turned to my left, and I looked at that picture because it was taken when I was not saved. I had not been born again. You literally, in that picture, you could see the darkness. You could see the darkness on my face. And then I looked at a picture after I got born again. I could not even comprehend what I was seeing because the light had now manifested on the outside. And so my friends, in me now wanting to walk with Jesus, serve Jesus with all my heart, my friends were determined that they were going to get me back. They were going to rescue me out of this religious experience that I had. And so they did everything they could to get me to go back to the beach, to go to the different places we used to hang out and the things that we used to do. They would invite me to the parties and all kinds of things. And every single time I'd say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go. And so to make a difference, I had to be different. So in other words, I also had people that would come up to me that knew me before I got born again, and they would literally inquire and saying, why are you so different? You don't cuss anymore, you don't tell jokes anymore, you're not drinking anymore. Why? What happened? And some people that I would share what made a difference in my life, that was Jesus Christ, they would get born again. And I would lead them. And by the way, I didn't preach to them. I tried to preach to some of my closest friends, and that caused us to get in fights. I'm serious. They could tell you that. It would cause us to get into fist fights. You know, and most of you don't know, I was a crazy person back in those days. Okay? But we would get into, they would start fighting, and I had to do something. I turned the cheek once, because I know he said turn the cheek. He didn't say how many times. So, and then I'd ask for forgiveness. So, but it was real interesting because some of those guys eventually got saved. Some of them did not, but some of them did. And the reason is because I made a determination that I was going to live differently. I was going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, to do that, I had to renew my mind to the Word of God. And the more that I renewed my mind to the Word of God, the more I read the Word of God, because I was so hungry and thirsty for God's Word. Oh my gracious. And I would begin to devour the New Testament. I would devour the epistles. And I got to the place that I started memorizing scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And I would lock on to scripture and I would just say, Holy Spirit, you're my teacher. Teach me, teach me, teach me. And so I would begin to learn. And then I began to go to conferences. And I finally found a church where the pastor was preaching the Word of God. And my life was literally transformed. I mean, you talk about a metamorphosis. It happened when I got born again, but when my mind was being renewed with the Word of God, I got so excited, and then God gave me a whole new group of friends. And it was people that I would have never in my life before I was born again ever hang out with because they were not cool. I hung out with some folks that there is no way outside of Jesus that I would hang out and become friends with. But I became best of friends with them. And the reason I became best of friends with them, it was not based on how cool they are, what they had or what they didn't have. It was based upon the Word of God. It was based upon talking and sharing and getting excited about the things of God. And the more people I could get around that we could talk about things. Did I still love basketball? Yeah, I played basketball in college. Okay? Did I love basketball? Do I still love basketball today? Absolutely. Do I love football? Yes. I played football. Do I love that? Baseball? Yes. I love golf. Yes. I love those things. But that does not consume my life anymore. You know, I would imagine if I got born again In this day and time, in this culture, I would have probably said I love video games, but I would not allow video games to consume me, to take me away from the Word of God, to renew my mind. I would not allow video games, because after I got born again, I even laid my golf clubs down, which was an idol to me. I laid it down for a whole year, for a whole solid year, because I was pursuing a professional golf career. And I just told the Lord, I don't want to play golf anymore. I honestly didn't. I laid those things down. And at the end of the year, after 1 year that I had laid those clubs down, the Lord in my prayer time started to encourage me to go play. And I was like, I was actually, because I was still growing at this time, I was rebuking that thought. Because I figured that can't be the Lord. So I just began to say, no, I don't want to do that. Then a friend of mine came up and he said to me, he said, did you know the qualifying for the U.S. amateur? This was in 1980. He said, did you know the qualifying for the U.S. amateur is going to be over in Pinehurst, and we can go play two courses in Pinehurst for $35? That's the application fee. And I looked at him, and he was a real close friend of mine. He played golf at NC State, and he's real close to me. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. I don't want to do it. I went back in prayer the next morning, and I'm going to tell you right now, I have no idea why I'm telling you this. This is not in my notes. This was not planned. This was not scripted. So I told him, I don't want to do that. And in my prayer time, the Lord, it impressed upon me so strongly, do it. Because the number one ambition for an amateur golfer is to play in the U.S. Am. The U.S. Amateur. And I had tried and tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed and failed and failed. And then at the end of that year, the Lord said, I want you to go and I want you to play in that tournament. And I was like, okay. Because see, there's so many things that we're trying to do in our own strength. There's so many things that we are trying to do in our own ambition that sometimes we even think is for the kingdom of God, but basically it's selfish ambition. It's basically for me. It's for me. It's for my honor. It's for my promotion. It's for me. It's for me. It's for me. And I'm going to tell you, every time you pursue that direction, you will become frustrated. It will eventually fail, but you will not be satisfied. You're only satisfied when you seek and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Because his will can sometimes be so far from your will and what you have planned. A man's mind plans his ways, but God directs his steps, the Bible tells us. And so I called my friend and said, okay, we'll go, we're gonna do this. Okay, we'll go. So we had to go. You had to have a caddy. I did not have a caddy. And so I called my sister. And of course, my sister, the one we used to drag out of the house, and she would be the center while we played football in the front yard. So and she so graciously accepted, and she came down and she caddied for me. I'll just give you a long story short. I had not played in one solid year. 2 weeks before the tournament, before the qualifying, I started hitting practice balls, started hitting just a little bit. When I got out on the first hole over in Pinehurst, because there's 300 golfers and they only take 3 out of 300. Qualify. When I got on the first hole and swung the first time, it is like that I had been playing every single day, practicing every day for hours. Everything I did went straight to the hole. Everything. So at the end of it, I was one of the three that qualified. The very thing that I desired to have so much, when I wanted to have recognition for myself, honor for myself, promotion for myself, affirmation from my friends for myself, I could never attain. But when I just laid something down and just said, God, I'll never pick this up again because it's an idol to me. I don't want it. I can live without it anymore. Is when God said, pick it up. Come on, pick it up. And I remember the first day I went out and practiced. It was amazing. First day I went out and practiced, and I went out and played, and I got in my car, put my clubs in the car, and got in my car, and the Lord said, so tell me, what's the difference? And I said, I don't need this. I could care less if I play or not. I don't need this, Lord. I just want to know you. And that's not some religious jargon. That was a heart cry. I just wanted to know you. But let me just say this. Not only did God give me a desire of my heart once I had submitted everything to Him, but the roommate that I had from New Jersey, who was a New Jersey state golf champion, we were rooming together, and he was in his practice round. And when he was in his practice round, and people know in Pinehurst, you got a lot of pine needles. And he hit a shot in his practice round. I was not with him. He hit a shot, and a pine needle went up and stuck in his eye, in his left eye. And he got it out. The guy got it out for him like that, but his whole vision was blurry now. And he was going to have to go to a doctor. And so that day when he came up, he came up to where we were staying, and he literally was in tears, and he said, I'm not going to be able to play. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, a pine needle hit me and came into my eye, and he said, my eye is so blurry. And I said, this is being different, because I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I looked at him and I said, no, you're going to play. And he said, Al, you don't understand. He said, that thing stuck in my eye. And he said, I've got to go to a doctor. And I said, I recognize that and I know that. But I said, you're going to play. And he said, what do you mean I'm going to play? I said, because I'm a Christian. And I believe in the power of God. And I believe in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, and I'm going to, there was a boldness, there was a faith boldness that was on me. And I said, but I'm going to pray for you. And Jesus is going to heal you, and you're going to play in the U.S. Amateur. And he said, well, I don't know about all that kind of stuff. He said, I'm Catholic, but I don't know about all of that kind of stuff. And I said, it doesn't matter what you are. I said, God loves the whole world, everybody He loves. And I said, and He will show Himself to you and let you see that He is real and that Jesus is real. And so he said, okay, all right. He said, well, all right, I'm going to go to sleep. Because it was nighttime, and he said, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to rest. I'm going to get up in the morning, and you can pray for me in the morning. I said, that's great. Awesome. We can do that. So he got up in the morning and he said, I think I need to go to the doctor. I said, let me pray for you and go to your next practice round. And he said, okay. He said, I think this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. But he said, I will do it. I will do it. And I said, I'll guarantee you, after you finish this round today, you won't think that this is so dumb. And so he said, okay. He said, all right, do whatever you need to do. And I said, okay. And I prayed for him in the name of Jesus. Just a very simple prayer. It was not a long, exuberant prayer. It's just, I just reached up and said, Father, you see and know what's going on with his eye, and I just pray, show yourself how much you love him and show yourself strong in the name of Jesus. And I said, would you heal his eye that he would have perfect vision to be able to do what he needs to do, to play? And I prayed for him, and I said, that's it, in the name of Jesus, amen. Back in those days, my prayers were simple. You know, when I renewed my mind to the Word of God, I'd pray now for 5-6 minutes over somebody. So it was real simple. So he gets in his car, he drives, and he goes, I don't hear anything. I'm in my car. I drive. I get to the place where we're supposed to have the practice round, and the last practice round before we actually play in the tournament. And so I got through, came home. I was sitting up in the apartment where we were staying. In the USAM, they put you up in these places and homes and stuff with people. So I'm in this apartment, and all of a sudden, I hear his car coming, and I hear it screech because there was a rock driveway. And I hear the door slam, and we're staying in an upstairs apartment. I hear him running. Boom, 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 boom. He throws open the door, and he looks at me, and he says, do you know what happened to me? I said, no, I was not there. And he said, all right. He said, I got on the first hole to tee it up, and I teed my ball up, and I got up there, and he said, everything was blurry. And then he said, I just stepped back and said, because he is Catholic, and he said, okay, God, if this is real, I need your help. He said, I went back, got my position, leaned over the ball, and he said, my whole eye cleared up. He said, I played one of the best practice rounds I've ever played in my life. And he looked at me and he said, now, tell me about your Jesus. And he got born again. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he was crying. He said, I've never known a Jesus like this. And the whole thing, folks, the reason I'm saying that is because I had made a decision that I was going to be different. That I was not going to hide my Christianity, and I've never hid it. For 51 years, I have never hid my Christianity. And I never will. I've never been ashamed of the name of Jesus. I've never been ashamed to speak it when God tells me to speak it. It's not that I'm out preaching somewhere or whatever. I made a decision to live my life to bring honor and glory to God. Have I been perfect? No, I've made mistakes. There's things that I have done. But when I made a mistake, because my heart is so tender to Jesus, I would repent and ask God to forgive me of what I just did or what I just said. And he always forgave me. But it doesn't matter if it's restaurants, only when God prompted me. But see, the places that I worked before I ever went into ministry, I had people that hated me. I had people that cussed me. I had all kinds of things going on where I was. But I also had people inquire. Not that I was not preaching because they didn't hire me to preach. Somebody better listen to me right now. They didn't hire you on that job to preach and sit around and be on your phone. They hired you to be different. They hired you to do a job and to do it well and to do it with excellence. That's what God has called us to do, because that's being different, especially in this day and time, in this culture. That's being different. But, man, I had people come up to me on my job, and I had one guy that hated me. I mean, this guy said all kinds of things about me. But then when something really tragic happened in his life, he came to me and he looked at me and he said, are you going to church tomorrow? This was on a Saturday. We worked on Saturday. And I said, yeah. He said, can I meet you there? And I said, sure. So that night when I went home, I prayed for him. And I said, God, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what's happening, but open his heart. He came to church with me that day, and he got saved. And he told me, he said, do you know why I said all the things I said to you? And I said, I guess just like me before I was born again. And he said, because your life convicted me. And I hated that. I hated that. And you know, the Bible says in John, the 3rd chapter, that the darkness will hate the light. Jesus said, if the world hated me, it will hate you. But at the same time, he died for the world. He didn't reject the world just because they hated him. He prayed for them. And he lived his life in such a way that even his own disciples would end up saying, what kind of man is this? What manner of man is this? You know, even the people that would listen to him saying, this is not like the scribes and the Pharisees. This is a man that teaches with authority. But that authority was birthed out of his love for his Father, out of his love for people. And Jesus made this statement. He said, I didn't come to be served. It is amazing. I grew up in a house where I was a mama's boy. My mama waited on us night and day. Everything. I could leave my underwear. She'd pick it up to a certain point. She got real smart and realized, and she said to all of us one time, she said to us boys, she said, let me just say this, because we were big breakfast eaters. He said, you will not eat breakfast in this house until your room is cleaned every single day before you come in to eat breakfast. And so we knew what to do. We just simply lift up the mattress. Put all that stuff under the mattress, especially underwear, under your clothes and things like that were dirty. We just put it under there. And then anything else that was left out, we just stuff it under the bed. How many of you understand now that your mama is probably the smartest person in all the world? Amen. And so when we would walk into the kitchen and she said, okay, did y'all clean your room? Yes, ma'am. Spick and span. Clean perfectly. Really? Okay, let's go check. What? Let's go check. I told you it's clean. And she would always say this. She said, you know, I know one thing about the Bible. The Bible says God be true and every man be a liar. She said, let's go check. We go check. And the first thing she'd do is pull up the mattress. I'm like, Mama, why did you have to do that? She said, because I know you, son. I know you. But I'll never forget that same mom, after I got born again, she came to me and she said, what is wrong with you? And I said, nothing's wrong with me, Mom. It's what's right with me. She said, you have changed so drastically. I had changed so much. People in our town was coming to my dad because they were concerned about me. Nobody came to my dad when I was out drinking and doing crazy things and all that kind of stuff. Nobody came to him. But when I got saved and I started talking differently and I was differently in the stores and everything else, people came and said, there's something different about him. James, we're concerned about him. You know, it's all because I made a decision. I made a choice that I wanted to be different. I wanted to be different. And being different starts in the home. That's where it starts. Where nobody can see you and nobody knows what's going on. Because it's easy to come here, where everybody's at, and smile. Hello, brother. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So good to be around everybody. And at home, it is hell. At home, there is screaming and shouting and anger. And do you know why it's like that at home, in a Christian home? It's because many people are still selfish. And out of selfishness comes anger and frustration. And out of selfishness comes screaming and yelling. That I just basically am saying that I'm a selfish person. I want it my way. That's it. Praise the Lord. I want it to go the way I want it to go. This is what I call the confessions of a preacher. When we got married, I was that man. Even though I loved Jesus with all my heart, even though I was working hard for God, at the same time, I was a very selfish person. I was a mama's boy. I expected my wife to wait on me hand and foot. And when things didn't go the way I wanted them to go, or go in the proper order that I wanted them to go, or we didn't go or do what I wanted to do, then I got angry, upset, and then I could literally, I could raise my voice to bring fear. Sometimes us men are really good at that. And then one day in prayer, oh yeah, say it loud. Oh yeah. I'm telling you, it's like Jesus came in to the temple to clean it up. And it was not with a smile. And I'll never forget this. I'll never forget when he said, "Do you hear the way you're talking to my daughter? Do you know what you are saying to my daughter? Do you see how selfish and immature that you're acting?" I said, "Is there anybody else up there?" And he said, "Son, you want to know why your prayers are not being answered? You want to know why you're struggling? You want to know why you're so frustrated? You want to know why you're so angry? Because I called you to serve in your household, not to be served." He said, "Did I not say in my word that I came to serve and not to be served?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "I need for you to repent of your actions, and I need you to repent of your words, and I need for you to ask for forgiveness. And I need for you to go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I need you to stay in that. And I need you to attend to that word. And I need you to read that word out loud until it is a revelation to you and it becomes you." And I said, "Yes, sir." And with tears flowing down my face, me face down on the carpet, repenting and ask God to forgive me of the way I'd been talking to my wife, condescending, yelling. He said, "Pastor, when was that?" "Last night." "No, I'm just kidding." "That's not true. It's not true. I just don't want you to go to sleep." So that was in our marriage. It was after we had had a couple of our kids. And it was really tough, because I wanted to set a standard of perfection. And the reason I wanted to set a standard of perfection is because I couldn't live like that myself, so I demanded it out of everybody else. It's called being self-righteous. And the very joy that I had when I got saved to tell people about Jesus and praying for being all upset, now I'm trying to be so perfect that it's a trap. And now I became another different. I came to a place of difference of where I started judging everything, because I felt so self-righteous in myself. And so when I couldn't live to that standard, I would be mean. I would talk down to everybody else. I would judge what I was seeing. And then when God got a hold of me, when He got a hold of me, He changed me that day. He radically changed me. Did I have to work on some things? I did have to work on some things. Oh my gosh, did I have to work on this flesh? Every single day, this is where I got the revelation of understanding and saying every single day, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I want to live my life like Jesus. And I said, I can't do it in my own strength, and I can't do it by being self-righteous. And I don't want to be a preacher like that. I don't want to be a dad like that. So every single day I'd say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to live the way Jesus wants me to live. Help me to be the dad that I need to be. Help me to be the husband that I need to be. Help me to love the way you want me to love. Help me to serve the way you want me to serve. Help me with all of my insecurities. Help me, Father. I said, Lord, I don't want to be like this. I want the restoration of the joy of my salvation. When I was so free, and I was not so condemning, but I was loving and loved. So I'll never forget the day I looked at my wife and I said, I want you to know from this day forward, I will get more rewards than you when I get to heaven. And she said, what? I said, I will get more rewards. And my wife is an incredible wife. Oh my gosh. I married so high up, I should be wearing an oxygen mask. Jeez. And she is an incredible server. Oh my gosh. You ladies in this church know that. I mean, you want to imitate somebody that a woman of God. My gracious, very humble, mercy, but she will serve. She will do every. She will, like, it's crazy, you know. But I looked at her and I said, from this day forward, I will get more rewards when I get to heaven than you. And she said, how can you say that? And I said, because from this day forward, I will serve you in a greater capacity than you will serve me. And I said, and I will love you like the Bible says. As God helps me, I will love you as Christ loves the church. I will love you. And from that day forward, I started serving in my house. I started doing everything I could around the house. I mean, just everything that I could to serve her. And then I did that at work, and I started serving people and started loving people. And I'll never forget that about 2 weeks later in prayer, what I was just praying and worshiping Jesus because the joy of my salvation had come back. And I was just worshiping Jesus with all my heart. And all of a sudden, there was an overflow and a download of the love of God like I had never known in my life. And I'll never forget, I just literally said this because tears were flowing out of my eyes, and I was just, Lord God, I love you so much. I love you so much. And the love of God is just, this is like wave after wave after wave after wave. You know, people say this all the time, there's a new wave. Well, it may be, but it's the same water. Same water it's always been. Maybe new waves, but it's the same Holy Ghost. And I said, I was so overwhelmed, and I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, this is the result of you being honest and come before me and repenting. And now going into 41 years of marriage, I love my wife. I love my children. And I believe with all my heart that one of the reasons that my son, my first son who is now in heaven, I believe one of the reasons that he went away from what he had been taught and learned is because of the way I was and the way I acted. For those years that I really didn't understand the love of God, and I tried to set those standards. And there are standards in the Bible, but without love, it doesn't work. It does not work. And when you're raising children, there's a tremendous amount of sacrifice and intercession. But the love, and now I watch my children loving their children. I watch my sons loving their children unconditionally. And I cry. I literally do. I just cry and I look at that. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I come before God and come before you and say, there is another way of life, love. It's not selfish ambition. That's not your ambition. Because if that's your ambition, you will never be happy. You will never be satisfied. You will never be fulfilled. And to try to get people to live under your control and under your rule and being angry and shouting and screaming and all kinds of things, that is not the love of God in our house. That's the insecurities, just things we grew up with. I am a living testimony and example that if you cry out to God, and men, I'm really talking to you right now, if we can get out of this pride and ego that the culture has put within us, and we can repent and say, God, I want to love my family. I want to love my wife. I want to love my children. I want to love people the way you love them. And I repent of this self-righteousness. I repent of being angry and upset and all this and living like that. I will tell you this right now. God will restore your love. It'll be a love like you have never dreamed. It'll be a love that you experience that is beyond your comprehension. It will absolutely nail to the cross your insecurities. It will crucify your flesh so that you can be led and live by the Spirit. And it may be the same thing with you ladies. Because I grew up in a home where my mom controlled the home. She ran the home. She was upset, angry. She was controlling like crazy. And extremely out of that came a negativity. But she went to church for 60 some years. This morning, and I'm going to tell you right now, my notes will be up on the web. If you want to know what I was going to preach today, I got as far as I could, and that was one sentence, make a difference. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let me say this. If you want to be a difference maker and you want your home different, you may be here and you may be even single or with your spouse or whatever. I'm not asking you to say, what about her? What about him? We're not talking about your spouse. Every spouse is different. We're talking about your relationship with Jesus. Intimacy with Jesus. Do you want the joy of your salvation restored? Do you want that intimacy with the Lord restored? Because I'm going to tell you right now, He'll fill you up to overflowing, where you'll get up tomorrow morning, you'll hunger and thirst after Him like you have never hungered and thirsted before. This is not just about church. This is about relationship with Jesus. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. If you want your home changed, I want you to come down here right now. If you want your home changed, I want you to come down here right now. And all I want you to do one of two things. If you want to get on your knees, you can get on your knees. If you just want to raise your hands to the Lord, but I need you to have a talk with Jesus right now. I need you to say, Father, forgive me the way I act. Forgive me the things that I've said. Father, forgive me and help me right now. I need your help. I need your help. And let me just say this also. If you're full of pride, you won't come. You won't come. Because that's a devil's trick that was in my life like crazy. The way you break it is when you come and you say, and you cry out to the Lord. And cry out to the Lord right now, folks. Come on, cry out. And you that are viewing us, same thing, right where you are. Cry out to the Lord. Drop on your knees right there out of your chair, right where you are, and just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of the way I'm acting, the way I've done, my actions, my deeds. Forgive me in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, ask Him right now. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to ask Him right now. He will change your heart right now. He'll change your heart right now. Come on, folks, let's pray. Let's pray up here. Let's pray for these folks up here. Come on. Come on. You may be at your seat right now. There may be something else that in your life that you need a miracle from God. Just ask Him right now. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is here. You may be here today and say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, but I know I need Him. I know I need to be delivered from my sin. I know I need to be forgiven right now. If that's you, come down here right now, and we will pray for you right now. Right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we praise you, Father. We worship you. We glorify your holy name. We magnify. Father, hear the cry of your people like you heard my cry. Father, hear the repentance of the hearts like you heard my repentance of my heart. Father, heal our homes. Heal our marriages. Heal our hearts. Father, you're preparing us for your return. You're preparing our homes. You're preparing our hearts. You're preparing our children. You're preparing us for your return, Father. You're coming back for a bride that loves you. When you get through, don't go anywhere. Just stay right here because we're getting ready to have a prayer in just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Boy, this is, I tell you, this is amazing that God is doing this because next Sunday's Father's Day. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now I want you to raise your hands. I want you to raise your hands up to the Lord. I want you to repeat this after me. Father, I thank you that you've heard my repentance. That you see my heart, and I desire to have your desires to fill me to overflowing by the Holy Spirit. I desire to love and to serve the way you love and the way you serve. I desire to speak words of edification, comfort, and exhortation, and our desire not to have anger but to have patience, love bursting forth from my life. Father, today I'm looking to you. I can't do this by myself. I can't do this on my own, but I'm asking you right now. With my heart, my whole heart, I'm asking for your help and the help of the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you right now, fill me to overflowing with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, a fresh revelation of your love. Fill me with your joy. Fill me, Lord. Let your love come out of me like a river. Do it now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you for a fresh anointing. Thank you for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me ask you this. How many of you know now something's happened inside? You just know something has happened inside. Even though we don't go by feelings, I know there's a stir. There is. I know he's working right now in my heart. I know. I know. I know. Now let me pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over each and every person right now. Father, every single time that I felt like, after I had repented and I felt like I was going to get back in the flesh, every single time the Holy Spirit literally restrained me And I knew in my heart what the devil was trying to do to lead me into an angry place. But at that point, at that time, Father, every single time you showed me this, you said, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And Lord, I did. And my whole life was revolutionized. Say this with me. Holy Spirit, help me right now. I'm not leaning on my strength or my understanding. I belong to you. Take full control. I want to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Flesh, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no power over me. You will not rule my life, but you will submit to the Holy Spirit, because I submit to the Holy Spirit. I submit to the Word of God, and therefore, you will be submissive. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. 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 Listen to me very carefully. I will tell you this, okay? Listen to me. The Bible says the devil immediately comes to try to steal the word. So when something starts to rise up, you start laughing. You should. I know where that's coming from. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're not stealing my word. You're not stealing my word. You're not going to suppress my joy. And then those of you that are down here with your spouses, here's what you do. Honey, or maybe you have to go home and say this, honey, from this day forward, I'll serve you greater than you have ever seen. I will serve you. I will serve you. Some of you need to go home and have a foot washing. I'm serious. I'm serious. I have washed my wife's feet before, which is an absolute true sign of saying, I'm going to serve you. And I'll tell you, when you do it, you won't have to have much water in there, because you'll fill it up with tears. I tell you right now, because that's when you see the Holy Spirit doing incredible work. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to hear testimonies. And if your spouse is not here, then if they're at home or somewhere else, or maybe military deployed or whatever, you can still get in touch with them and say, everything that I have said that I know that is not of God, honey, forgive me. I repent of it in the name of Jesus. Forgive me. And then here's the last thing I'm going to say to you is very important. When you get by yourself, or you get in your car, or you get to your house, you say this: I take authority over every negative, angry word that I have spoken and released into my house. I take authority, I break its power, and I command every word to fall to the ground right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every word, I command it to fall to the ground. I take authority over it. And I release the peace of God into my house and into my marriage in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you do that? If you do that, I'm going to tell you right now, it'll change. If you're going home and saying something like this to your wife, or your spouse, your husband, and they were not in the service, and you say something like, they're going to look at you real funny, okay? But they're going to be checking you out. And they will see the difference. See the difference. I'll never forget this lady one time that we actually had this conversation one time, and I said, you need to go home and serve your husband and love him. And she said, that useless. And I said, that's the problem right there. I said, do you think Jesus sees him that way? Well, no, Pastor, no. Then you need to see him the way Jesus sees him. And you need to do that. Let me just give you quick testimony. 3 weeks later, she walked down the aisle with her husband. Her husband got saved just because of her actions. Because of her actions. Can you say amen? Love you guys. Love. This is a whole, listen, it's just so funny because it's just the Holy Ghost ambush. I love it. Amen. And I love it that I can be honest with you in my own life, because the Lord knows exactly what's going on, what's happening. And I thank you for listening to me. I thank you for putting up with my stories. I thank you. But look at this.